Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Well, the timing could not be more unfortunate. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change publishes its final wake-up call on what needs to be done to save the planet. And at the same time, the government is forced to announce that plans to build 1,000 turbines in 40 wind farms across the Midlands are to be shelved. The IPCC report illustrates how our energy generation systems are going to have to be entirely transformed in order to avoid breaching a 2 degree Celsius cap on global warming. Even if all current renewable targets are met, we will still fall a long way short of that ceiling. So the pace of decarbonising has to be picked up. Meanwhile, a shift in the direction of UK energy policy means that one of Ireland's largest renewables projects will now be mothballed. All of that power was to be exported to Britain. So beyond the economic loss, does it really actually matter? Or has the renewable sector suffered a major setback that is going to contribute to a bigger global crisis? Joining me now, UK-based independent energy consultant Malcolm Brown, who has, in the interest of disclosure, recently undertaken analysis of Irish energy policy on behalf of anti-pylon campaigners. First off, though, Malcolm, why has Irish wind fallen out of favour in the UK? You're supposed to be embracing everything Irish at the moment.
Well, good evening, Philip, and good evening to your listeners. The reason that Irish wind exports have fallen out of favour in the UK is that simply they're too expensive. And if I was an Irish consumer and an Irish taxpayer, I'd be extremely concerned by that, because Britain is actually the best market for exports. And it's the best market because, firstly, we're actually quite short of power, both renewable and traditional. And the second one is we are physically the closest market to get to, and therefore the cheapest market to get to. And therefore, what you have to be fundamentally concerned about as Irish taxpayers and Irish electricity bill payers is that what should be your best and most attractive market is actually saying we're not willing to pay the price for expensive Irish wind power.
What do we need to charge per megawatt, and what is Britain prepared to pay?
Britain, like Ireland, has got to meet its renewable electricity targets. Britain, like Ireland, is interested in keeping its costs down for its consumers and taxpayers, and also creating domestic jobs. So what we've been doing in Britain is we've been developing our own renewables industry in offshore wind and in biomass. And basically that means that you're going to have to compete against offshore wind projects in the UK that the government has said it's not going to pay more than 120 euros per megawatt hour of electricity output. And what's very interesting in the last couple of weeks, Philip, is that actually the UK government has just refused to provide financing to UK offshore wind projects that cannot meet that target of below 120 euros a megawatt hour. So let's look at the costs of what Irish wind power exports are going to be exported at, and let's consider whether that's attractive to the UK consumer. In terms of the costs of Irish wind power, the first cost is the subsidy that Irish consumers and Irish taxpayers pay to the wind farm developers. That's 70 euros a megawatt hour. The second cost is actually, because you're doubling the amount of wind power in your system, you're going to have to reinforce the transmission network and have another route to export through an interconnector. And that's going to add 3.8 billion euros of capital cost onto the Irish taxpayer. That's about 30 euros a megawatt hour. Plus, if you add in total export costs for shipping it through the interconnector, you add another 40. So 70 euros just to produce the wind power at an Irish wind farm, 30 euros to send it through your reinforced domestic transmission network, and another 40 euros to get it out across the Irish Sea into the UK market. That's 140 euros a megawatt hour, and we know the British government will not pay more than 120, and that's for its own domestically produced power, which creates British jobs.
Okay, so the sums don't add up, you say. Let's go and talk a little bit about the reinforcing of the network that AirGrid is currently undertaking. The companies who were going to be producing this wind energy, were they not going to lay their own underground cables that was going to bypass the AirGrid network altogether call into question the reason, frankly, for building this 440 kilovolt pylons up and down the country?
Well, you're absolutely right, Philip. I mean, the interesting thing is the Midlands projects actually to meet the British renewables targets under the British tariff system. Now, it may sound a bit odd to your listeners that you can cover Ireland in a bunch of wind farms that are actually paid for by consumers in Britain to meet Britain's targets, but that was exactly the point of these projects. And as a result, you're absolutely right, they were going to build their own transmission network and their own interconnector into the UK market. Now, the problem for Ireland is that you are planning to double your wind power capacity to meet your own targets, paid for by the Irish taxpayer with subsidies. And that is why you've got to reinforce your transmission network at a cost of 3.2 billion euros. And it is going to be a technical necessity to export power as well at periods of very strong wind through a new interconnector. And that's going to cost you another 600 million euros.
Okay, but so to be clear about this then, the pylons running from Cork to Kildare has nothing to do with these plans, to the ones that have just been shelved, to export power to the UK. They are necessitated for meeting our own targets of 40% renewables by 2020.
They're necessitated by your doubling of onshore wind power to meet those targets. And the key point, I think, that your listeners should be interested in is that, you know, since this policy of all wind in Ireland was developed under the last administration, actually the energy debate, the facts have changed in the Irish energy debate. And the facts have changed because there are now technologies out there, biomass in particular, which will allow you to meet your renewable energy targets in a much more cost-effective way and create Irish jobs. And at the beginning of the discussion, you quite correctly mentioned that the IPCC was talking about the importance of renewable technologies, and it was absolutely focused on the fact that every country should have a balance of renewable technologies. So that's wind, that's solar, mm-hmm. that's biomass. Therefore, what you have in Ireland is you have a focus on a single technology, wind, which is going to cost you at least 3.8 billion euros. You are going to have to export as a technical necessity. Otherwise, you are going to destabilize your power system. And that's why the British government is willing to sit back and wait for that, because it knows that Ireland is going to be a forced seller of wind power if it continues down this route. And as everybody knows, if you're a forced seller, you are not going to get a good price.
On the climate change bill that is about to be published here shortly, and what, because of the IPCC report, it is going to have to say, this target of 40% renewables by 2020, is that equal to the state of the crisis that the globe finds itself in?
The target of 40% of electricity generation to come from renewable sources, so that's biomass, solar, wind, is a legally binding target on Ireland, as it is on every EU country. Now, the EU has taken a position that it has got to show leadership in terms of addressing taking carbon out of the energy system, and is therefore signed up to those targets, and they're legally binding on every EU country. The question every EU country should be asking itself, and the taxpayers in that country should be asking themselves, is, have we got a mix of technologies? Secondly, is it cost-effective? Thirdly, can we create jobs domestically? And the key point about the wind industry is that the turbines that are used in Irish wind farms come from Germany, Denmark, and China. and there are going to be no turbines manufactured in Ireland.
But is there not an overriding criteria above and beyond all of those? Is this actually going to work? Will it hold warming down below that 2 degrees Celsius cap? Do you have a view on that? Is 40% equal to the state of the crisis?
I'm not qualified to take a view as to whether that's going to manage the crisis that we're facing, because we all recognise that we don't sit here as an island in the EU, that we're part of a bigger global picture. And that means, particularly for large population, fast-developing economies in India and China, what we do in Europe is important, but it's critical that other countries, including America, China, and India, sign up. However, we are legally obliged as members of the EU to meet these targets. So whether we like it or not, our governments have signed up to it.
Malcolm Brown, Independent Energy Consultant, thank you very much.